This is Crime Stoppers on Talk 107.3 FM.
I think I'll go catch me a bed.
A weekly look at fighting crime, stopping crime, and crime prevention.
Do you really want to get him? What are you prepared to do?
Everything within the law.
As always, if you have information you think could help solve a crime, call Crime Stoppers at 344-STOP.
All it takes is a phone and an open mind. No one will know.
My eyes only, pal.
It's Crime Stoppers on Talk 107.3 FM.
Yes, it is time for Crime Stoppers, and once a month we check in with the folks from iCare, which is what we do today by welcoming back Dr. Bridget Webster from the East Baton Rouge Parish Public School System. Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. Good morning. Well. How are you, Brian?
Doing very well as well. So let's bring everybody up to speed as to who you are and why you're here today.
So I'm Bridget Webster. I serve as Director of the Mental Health Services Department with EBR. I have been practicing in the field of social work for 31 years, believe it or not.
Oh, my.
23 of those years with EBR schools.
Mm-hmm.
And currently I serve as an iCare advisory council member. So I get to play with iCare and just be a part of the great work that they're doing.
What's the connection there? Because with iCare, it's always if you see something, say something.
Absolutely.
Which is more reactive. Your role, I feel, is more proactive.
Actually, yeah, you're right. So iCare is about prevention, and mm-hmm. they do a lot of great work throughout the year. Every month they have various campaigns, and they do what we call tier one support for students. My department does tier three support, which is individual sessions based upon a referral from a school counselor, or a teacher may see something and say to the counselor, I really need this child to get some additional support.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we're able to get consent, written consent from the parent or guardian, and we're able to do assessments and then make a determination on how we're going to support that student.
Got Dr. Bridget Webster in for our iCare installment of Crime Stoppers. Talk a little bit about mental health in our schools. Actually, this is a good point of clarification before we really get into it. Mental health versus mental illness. What are some differences here that folks need to know about?
Mental health is really about how a person functions in their daily life. If it's a student, we're talking about school, how they interact with their community, whether it's extracurricular activities, how they interact with their family, and if they're able to successfully do so in the midst of challenges. You know, we have challenges every day,
mm-hmm.
but if we're able to function in a way that's productive, then that's a sign of good mental health, mental awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Mental illness, however, is a diagnosable condition based upon criteria.
Okay.
And I think I talked last time about diagnostic and statistical manual.
Yes.
We use that. We call it the DSM-5 to determine whether a student has met the criteria for a particular area. Maybe depression, anxiety, or so on and so forth.
Is there a threshold where poor mental health transfers over to mental illness, or is one separate of the other?
That's a good question. Sometimes a person who has had difficulty with their mental health, they might become a person with a mental illness, but that's not necessarily the case all the time.
Okay.
If a person is not addressing things in their life in a productive way, then we might look at how trauma is impacting them, and then it could carry over to a mental illness.
So I asked the question because there are two big problems that are out there. One is ignoring what's in front of us.
Yes.
And two, the stigma to not want to face what's in front of us. So the more we can understand on the front end, the quicker we can get back to helping on the back end.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about student attitudes from there. We've got Dr. Bridget Webster with the East Baton Rouge Parish Public School System. She's the Director of Mental Health there as part of our iCare Crime Stopper segment. So let's talk about student attitudes and mental health and how they've evolved in recent years.
So what we've noticed, I did some reading, and I'm constantly reading, trying to find out what the best practices are. The Hunt Institute in April of 21 looked at student attitudes, and what they discovered is students became aware of how things were impacting, how the pandemic was impacting their family.
Mm-hmm.
And so attitudes are, they understand that things don't always go as we plan. They understand that an episode like the pandemic affects everybody. And so there was more talk about mental health and mental wellness. And so I think having those conversations normalized, what it is to make sure that you're addressing your mental health.
Right.
And so awareness and then a decrease in stigma. And so as we talk more and more about the necessity of handling things in a positive manner, admitting that there is a concern, and then addressing those concerns, asking for help, all those are signs of good mental wellness.
You mentioned the pandemic. That's just one of the many things that we've had to face in recent years. What are some of the other factors that affect mental health with students?
We talk about social media, and I hate to keep bringing that up, but it is a constant because you never turn it off. It's always there. You know, they're supposed to be asleep in bed and their phone's on. Mm-hmm. The phone's dinging. There's, you know, a constant barrage of information coming at these students. Personally, I decided, I think this was right around 2016 when we had the flood. Everybody was glued to the TV trying to figure out, you know, where's the water going? And,
right.
And is my neighborhood going to be affected? And what I realized personally is that I had to turn off the noise. I needed to be aware, but I had to limit how much exposure. And that's what we try to teach our students. Limit the exposure that you have to certain things, because that constant information can cause all kinds of negative.
Well, and it doesn't contribute to their well-being or, solutions in any way. Mm-hmm. We see it as grown-ups as well. If you turn on any of the 24-hour news networks,
right,
there's going to be a column down the right and a column across the bottom, and both of those are going to tell you that what's on that screen right now is the most important thing ever. And if you turn your eyes away for 1 second, you're going to miss something that's going to, like, ruin your life if you just look away. And, it's similar with social media and kids. To be honest, it's similar with social media and adults as well.
Absolutely.
But the constantly hitting refresh, the constantly did so-and-so respond. Why haven't they responded? Why is there that negativity? Why are my friends not having my back when I'm being called out on a thread? Yeah. Like, all these things are more and more difficult. The further down the rabbit hole you get, the more difficult they are to go backwards and turn off.
Absolutely. And what we say is limit the exposure. Turn off the notifications. Go out and do something physical.
Yeah.
Some physical activity. Read a book.
Mm-hmm.
When my boys come over, I have a 9-year-old and 5-year-old grandsons. When they come over to play, we play outside.
Mm-hmm.
We play hide and seek. That's our favorite thing, play hide and seek. They like me to chase them, so we chase for a little while. We read a book.
Mm-hmm.
We have a meal together. And so I break up those activities to do various things.
Right.
And really, if I allowed them, they would watch TV or play on their games
sure.
the whole time.
Sure.
And so you have to be intentional as parents, be intentional about how your children are using their time. You know, break it up into segments. Okay, it's time for this. And when you do those different activities and it becomes a pattern,
mm-hmm.
then we see that they have a more normalized childhood without all the influence from the social media.
Yeah, and the more you break those habits of being constantly on the phone or constantly in front mm-hmm. of TV, the more you break them, the easier they are to break.
Right.
And honestly, at a certain point, kids want to be away from it. So
they do.
We're pack animals. Humans are pack animals. We need to be around other humans, not necessarily screens. Mm-hmm. Hey, you mentioned something earlier about iCare being first here and y'all being third. Can you dive in on that?
Yes. Thank you for asking about that. So iCare is really big on prevention. They do all kinds of campaigns. Every single month, there's a campaign focusing on a particular topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are able to go in and work with students. They do promotionals. They do events. And we work tangent with iCare in promoting those events.
Mm-hmm.
There's a second tier that I didn't mention, and those are students who maybe they didn't get the message about prevention of that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And so the school counselor is able to do small groups for individuals who are needing some additional support.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, tier 3 is It's about 3 to 5% of the students in a school. And so those numbers are smaller, but the needs are more intense.
Gotcha.
We provide that intensive intervention, and we're able to work with that student over a period of time with their parents' permission. And then once they achieve their goals, we can either refer them back to tier two or back to tier one. There are a few cases, though, that maybe the student needs additional support.
Okay.
And we do what we call tier four. It's not a real tier, but it's a more intensive support where they can get support from maybe people in the community.
Yeah.
And so that's how we try to help all of our students.
Got about 2 minutes left with Dr. Bridget Webster, Director of Mental Health in the school systems here in Baton Rouge. Obviously, this is something that affects a lot more students than anyone would care to acknowledge, but how do you grow capacity to make sure all those students are served?
That's a challenge. There is a shortage of mental health professionals in Louisiana, but also around the country. Mm-hmm. We have been able to work with our community partners by creating what we call memorandums of understanding that has to be approved by our board, and we're able to get community partners to support us. The other thing is we have partnerships with our universities, our graduate programs, LSU, Southern University at New Orleans, Southern University in Baton Rouge, Our Lady of the Lake. We have interns who partner with our licensed clinicians, and then they're able to go out and get that experience learning how to assess, how to treat, how to intervene mm-hmm. with those students that are assigned to them. They do that under the support of a licensed clinician. And hopefully they will return to us after graduation and be a part of our teams.
Last one before we get you out of here, we got about 30 seconds left. So the relationship between y'all and Crime Stoppers is what?
Crime Stoppers is so important in our community. What we say is if we can create and support healthy students, they're going to become healthy adults, meaning they won't make poor decisions that lead them into a life of crime.
Right.
If we are, if a student sees a friend having some things going on, mm-hmm. we encourage those students to give them the resources to go get some additional help. I think the biggest thing is the awareness of mental health and the need for support has increased. And so the stigma of having a mental illness has decreased. And I think that's super important.
She's Dr. Bridget Webster, Director of Mental Health in the School System. This has been our Crime Stopper segment. Thank you, Doc. I appreciate it.